Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
All right, now welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authorist Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east to west and all the 30 countries each week that's tuning in globally around the world. And tonight is going to be a special guest. We have Jacqueline Charles, and she was a victim of sexual trafficking, and a lot of that, you know, has led to her being a woman that she is today. And she's all about being a life coach, woman empowerment, and much more. But before I bring her on, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. How you doing, Chris? Chris?
Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry. How are you?
Fine, darling. How are you?
I'm good. Outside of technical difficulties, I'm doing fine.
Okay, I understand. And so without further ado, I want to say hello first to my guest, Jacqueline. How you doing, baby?
I am so happy and honored to be on your show, and I'm amongst the living, so I'm doing great.
Girl, your pleasure is all mine. It's all mine. Now, we got a lot to touch on today, but before you became a life coach and into more women empowerment, you know, I want you to kind of like help the women. First, how did you get caught into sex trafficking? Did you get kidnapped? Did you get tricked by somebody? What happened? Because that ultimately was the jump off to who you are today. Because I believe that, you know, a lot of times our past might not be what we wanted to be, but for some of us, our past, the negative stuff that we go through, it makes us stronger today. And sometimes you got to go through some stuff to be a better person and be someone who can help someone else and reach back. So I applaud you, first of all, for being here, safe, married, you know, children, you know. So that's a plus, because I've heard a lot of horror stories about people who were victims of sexual trafficking.
Well, I think it built my muscle. You know, first and foremost, I want to say built my muscle. And for any women out there that were sex trafficked, they should not feel ashamed, you know, because we all have something in our past. And for me, I'll start off with, it started off with the family. I had a stepmother, and she was not too good to me. That's an understatement. So I ran away. And when I ran away, but prior to that, my virginity was sold, so to speak, you know, no plain away, no, you know, that's the best way I can say it, by my sister. So she sold my virginity, and I was almost raped, right? And then
did
my stepmom, huh?
You said your sister did this to you?
Yeah, my sister. So
I said, oh, my God, your sister sold you, like, property, your virginity?
Yeah. But when I say God was good. You know, I was going on a date, and I found that she set up the date. She set everything up. And by the grace of God, I'm telling you, because I ran into the bathroom, shut the door. And back then, they didn't have cell phones, so you can't say, well, who are you going to call? I shut the door, and he got a phone call, and his phone was in his bedroom because we were, you know, he picked me up because I was staying with my sister for a bit, because when I ran away from home, she's my stepsister, so I ran away from home, and then I went to live with her, and I knew she didn't like me, but I didn't know she hated me. So she would do some shady things, and then, well, you know, I'm at the point where now God is just so good, and it's rolling off my tongue. And before it used to be, I would cry, it's horrible, because sometimes people don't understand the enemy comes from within, and I'm talking about within the family, because your family knows your weaknesses, and we're so quick to criticize outside. But I'm the type of person, if your family and if you do the same thing that an outside person does, I'm going to still hold you accountable. I'm not giving you a pass because we're family. So the guy, it was by the grace of God, he had a phone call, and he went in his bedroom, and I ran out from out of the bathroom, because the whole point was we left her house, and he said, you know what, I forgot something in my house. Let me go upstairs. And I'm like, okay, fine, go upstairs. And he was a little older than me, 20 minutes to come upstairs, just come upstairs. And I'm like, and I trusted him because she set this up. She knew him. And later on I found out that she sold my virginity, and I know the money amount and everything, to him. About me, she got the money, and it was just a horrific thing. So that on top of other things that she did to me, I then decided to run away. When I ran away a second time, I took a cab. I called, back then when you called, when you used the payphone, you could call the operator. The operator would connect you to the police or whomever. So they gave me a name of a the Covenant House, because this happened. I went, ran away and took a cab. Who takes a cab to a shelter at that age, you know, 16, 15? So what I did was I took a cab, and I had all my clothes in garbage bags, and I took a cab to the shelter. And then when I get in the shelter, you have to do intake. So because I took a cab to the shelter, a lot of the women didn't like me because they thought I was a rich princess, because that's what they would call me. They would do intake, so you would have to stay like almost like in a holding area. And I would go to school, still go to school, take the train, go to school because I had some money on me. And when you miss curfew, they would lock you out. And then when you miss curfew a certain amount of times, they would kick you out. So I got kicked out, and then that's where my whole sex trafficking, and back then it wasn't called sex trafficking. I had prostitutes who actually did johns for me. I'm telling you, I had women who got beat by pimps because they knew I was a virgin, and I actually went to hotels with them, and they actually put me in the bathroom, and they actually did the sexual acts with the men. I had one guy with one of the ladies because she didn't think I should do anything, and she said she would do everything to him if he would spare me, but I had to stay in the room. He was so upset, we ran in the bathroom. I was in the bathroom, and he strangled her. Thank God he didn't kill her. She ran into the bathroom with me. We climbed out of the bathroom window in one of the motels, and the Covenant House was in Manhattan, so the guys would pick us up from Manhattan, take us over to the bridge into those nasty motels in Jersey. That man was so upset that we had to walk over the bridge. So when I say I've seen women got their throats slit. I've seen women, when I say I had one lady, and I'm trying to find her, and I wish to God I can find her family. She was Creole. She's from Louisiana. That's the first time I've ever met someone from Louisiana. And when I say this lady did everything under the sun, so these men couldn't touch me, all sort of deviant sexual acts. So when I tell you I had angels, these pimps would come out, and or this one particular pimp. And when I'm telling you, it was back then, it wasn't called sex trafficking. Yes, we had the pimping, but it was actually the sex trafficking, because they would want us to go to Connecticut, go to parties. It was horrible. And by the grace of God, and what happened was, to be honest, Terry, I actually forgot about it. I basically suppressed those memories, right? And because of that, I disliked women, didn't want anything to do with women, even though women helped me. So I started doing some toxic things to people and to myself, and I realized I had to seek therapy. And I finally, I prayed to God for a particular therapist that I wanted. I wanted a certain sex, she had to be from New York. She had to be a Jewish woman. And when I tell you this woman unlocked all these things, you know, and it just started pouring out. And then the memories, then I was triggered. And it took a while before I actually was healed. Because I totally forgot about it. And I'm good at compartmentalizing things in my brain, but something was just not working out. I was constantly battling. I was constantly fighting out, kicking out. And then finally I said, I got to seek therapy. I was suicidal on days when all of this came out, you know, attempted suicide twice, put the gun up to my head, was actually going to do it. And thank God for my pit bull that I had, because he and I have such a bond. And I've said, oh, my God, if I do this, my husband's going to, he's going to be licking my brain matters off the wall. My husband's going to come home and he's going to have to see this. No way. He knew when I was getting depressed, he would put his face on my lap and everything. And, yeah, because I had some episodes, and by the grace of God, you know, I'm healed. I can talk about it without crying. That's how I know I'm healed. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I'm just here to help other women to know that, you know, even in your own family, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that at all. People think sex trafficking, oh, you run away and you're out in the street. People don't talk about it. It could be the women in your household, the men in your household that's trafficking you or selling your virginity or just doing horrible things to you. We have to start talking about that. So I am actively looking. I'm an ambassador, but I'm actually looking to collaborate with people so I can talk about, you know, the real terrors of sex trafficking, how to spot someone who's being sex trafficked, you know, and you work with them. You have no idea. You know, you have some of these men.
Exactly. You said a couple of things that's very important. You know, a lot of families, when they got someone who has been a victim like that, they don't want to talk about it because they're worried about the shame that they presume is going to be upon them, not the victim. And another thing, I just want to give a pause for people to understand. Like you said, those prostitutes, they took ass whippings to keep you safe, you know, and they get such a bad rap. People look at them like they're garbage, but they still somebody's child. They still need to be loved, you know, and I am so grateful. You call them angels, and that's what they were for your life, that these women, even though for whatever reason they had to do what they had to do, they protected this young girl because they knew that this wasn't for you. And so, you know, I'm just saying to other people, you know, when you see people out there on the street, don't judge them because you never know. You just never know, and everybody deserves to be loved. And I'm going to let Chris ask his question.
Okay. Jacqueline, well, I understand you're from Brooklyn, New York, and New York is a gateway to all these is a gateway to sex trafficking, and I say that with respect to New York and with respect to you. So I was just wondering, as an ambassador, have you worked with New York and the sex trafficking issues there?
No, but New York is not the gateway anymore. It's Georgia, and I live in Georgia.
Oh.
So I am now, and here's the issue. We have advocates and ambassadors for breast cancer, for everything, prostate cancer, this cancer. There is an ambassador for sex trafficking because, one, women are embarrassed. Two, they don't want to relive their story. Husbands or significant others don't want them to talk about it. So I'm actively looking for a group, and I'm doing that now where I can go out and speak about it. Most people that speak about sex trafficking that I see with an organization, they want to help. They haven't been sex trafficked, very few, far in between, and they're doing it part-time. They're not doing it full-time, and we have to understand this is huge. This is huge. Massage parlors, you know, you see an Asian lady married to a Caucasian man, and she doesn't speak English. Usually there's some sex trafficking going on in there. So to answer your question, Chris, no, not in New York. But I'm reaching, so if anyone's listening, you know, reach out and contact me at 770-480-2269. But that's what I'm looking to do. I want to be an ambassador, speak about it. I'm an open book. I'll talk about any and everything. So that's what I'm looking to do, Chris.
Okay.
Well, you know, I was at Fort Benning, and I was in a restroom at the gas station there in Columbus, Georgia. And I was so impressed because on the wall near the toilet paper, they had the big plaque and saying that if you think that you are a victim of human trafficking, sexual victim, it says call this number. It's toll free, you know, and that was so encouraging because a lot of times if a person's in a situation where their captors are outside waiting, only thing they're allowed to do is go to the bathroom while they've been waiting outside. So this is a good thing to have little hints where the men don't go, you know, for these women to say, okay, I got hope.
Terry, I think, I, I, no, but to be better than that, because it's not enough that you call this number, because you're not going to get the number. For example, here's an example. If you are being abused, there's a code. Do you know what the code is if you're being abused?
No.
Chris, do you know what the code is?
No, what's the code?
The code is pizza.
Oh,
that's
pizza.
The code. They've developed the code. I want pizza or pizza. That's one of the codes for being abused. If you're domestic violence going on, or you're being beaten, that's one of the codes that they do. Someone, I don't know if you guys heard about it, someone was on a Zoom call with their company, and they kept talking about pizza, and they wrote pizza, and their significant other was watching, because I don't know how they found out, and they called the police, and the police went there, saw that she was, you know, rolled up her sleeve, she showed them everything, and, you know, they found out she was being abused. So we have to come up with something. I think right now sex trafficking is a buzzword right now. It's a buzzword. Everybody wants to jump on it because it sounds great, but we need to do more.
You're absolutely correct. Oh, my God. You know, and I know that my daughter, when she was young and when she would go out on a date, you know, I would make the date, first of all, leave $20 deposit with me. And the reason I did that is because I told her, don't never feel like when you're out and about with somebody that you're trapped. You got to do what they say, do, get home. You know, so all you got to do is say no and just jump in the cab, because the money will be here when you get here, you know. And I was doing this years ago when she was a teenager, you know, and it's just so sad that people don't get it, that, you know, they treat people like they're cattle. And not only women are being victims, so are guys, you know. They are being victim, and some people are being sent to different countries, and their captors are taking their passport, so they're trapped. And as years go by, and the family don't know or hear anything from their family, they don't, and they have no closure. They don't know if they did. They don't know nothing. And that's just a heartening thing, to be a parent and lose somebody and don't know what has happened to them.
Correct. I agree. I agree with you.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. And once it's easy to talk about, it means that you have healed from that, because I have some things I used to be afraid to talk about, and they're easy to discuss, so I know you're absolutely right on that point. So at what point did you decide to become a life coach? What epiphany that you have that you say, I'm going to take what I've been through, I've been, you know, gone through this horrific situation, I've been homeless, I've had sisters, trying to, you know, sell me out. You know, at what point, what age did you become before you realize, okay, I'm going to do something that's going to help somebody else based on what I've lived?
Well, I think I was always an advocate and didn't realize it, because even in school, when I would see, like, I was always part of the popular group, that type. But I was always the one who, if there was a girl against the wall and she was insecure, like holding up the wall, I would bring her into the crowd. If I would see, like, a thick girl against the wall and she was looking at everyone else, and you could tell, you know, her self-esteem issue because everyone else was thin, she was thick, and she was against them, I would bring them into. So I was doing that ever since I was young, you know. So what I decided to do, I said, you know what, like, this year I'll be married 32 years. And I've always heard women talk about, thank you, relationships. Particularly black women, you know, men are dogs, yada, yada, yada. So it started with that, okay? So I'm like, okay. And even my husband said, Jackie, you need to help these women because you're doing something right, so let's figure out how you can help them. It started off with that. Then it started off with me being plant-based. And then I said, let me help, because if I'm going to help your mind and body, let's also help your spirit. So talking about plant-based and things like that, because when I was out in the street and homeless, you know, we would go in the McDonald's dumpsters, and I would take, you know, wipe off the mayonnaise, and if it was fish fillet, wipe that off and just eat the bun. Because even if I was in the street, I still wasn't eating meat. So things like that. And then I realized, you know, more and more I'm hearing more about sex trafficking, and I had to make sure I deal with my own trauma drama so nothing would trigger me. And then finally I said, you know what, Jackie, you don't have anything to lose. You're a proud woman. You got this. Help other people. And that's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to add the sex trafficking in my, you know, platform as a speaker to talk to women. Right. And that's why I mentor young girls, because we have a lot of domestic abuse and trafficking in schools that people have no idea, you know. So alerting young girls that it starts off with the tone, then it starts off with the isolation, then pushing you and the shoving you and things like that. So I was never in a domestic situation, because even if those guys wanted to hit me, those women protected me and they took the lickings for me.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, my Lord. Okay, well, Chris, you can ask your question, baby.
All right. Well, Jacqueline, according to the CDC, one of the ways to prevent sex trafficking or to stop it it has to do with having a safe place to safe places to live. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think that sex trafficking happens less if the home is safe?
Well, here's the thing. Well, that, I don't know if you said one of or it is the. Sex trafficking starts with education. That's where it starts. Education.
Yeah,
we talk
that too. It's about,
That's where it starts. So, and it doesn't have to be it doesn't matter about safe home, because you could still have a safe home and go out and still be sex trafficked. So it starts with education, because when you educate, you will have a safe home, or you'll leave that unsafe home and go somewhere else. So it's not really the safe home. It starts with the education.
Oh, okay.
That's a good point, because, you know, a lot of people assume that when you say you've been trafficked, that you're gone and you are not able to come home. Sometimes these guys are making these naive young women feel like they're loved. And so when they go out and they get them all caught up, they say, well, if you love me, you'll do this and do that, you know, and that's trafficking as well, even though they go home at night, you know, and that is so sad.
And that's the point I want to make. Everything is education, because you may not even know you're being sex trafficked. You have fathers pimping their daughters, so you have no. So we have to start with education first.
Exactly. But I tell you what, I'm going to play a little song, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. Stay with us.
Hello, stranger. It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been? Seems like a mighty long time. Oh, I'm so glad you stopped by to say hello to me. Remember the way it used to be.
Like a mighty long time. Chubop, chubop, my baby, ooh. It seems like a mighty long time. Chubop, chubop, my baby, chubop, chubop, my baby.
Oh, life a mighty long time. Chibop, chibop, my baby, ooh.
So welcome back to Unmasked of Authors Terry Lyle and Chris Michael Ward, and we want to get back with our special guest, Jacqueline Charles. And so she made a good point. She said that a lot of people don't know they have been trafficked. So could you share with some people out there listening, you know, because we've got a demographic of 18 and older, of what kind of ways can a person look out for, or the parents look out for, some behaviors that will probably indicate that this is not a context of a natural relationship between another person?
Well, what a parent should look out for is, for example, their children, is are they eating? Communicate, educate, because here's the thing. Your child may not be sex trafficked, but her friend, for a young girl, you know, the mother, we found out her friend was being trafficked. The father was a doctor, and he would have the clients come in, go downstairs, and have sex with his daughter. This was in an influential neighborhood, okay? So her friend, you know, the friend's daughter would have conversations with her friend, and they were talking about virginity, and she said, oh, well, I think I'm still a virgin because, you know, I'm not giving it away like that. My dad is letting me meet guys, and I'm doing things to guys, because she thinks if she's doing things orally, you know, and things like that. So these guys would come in, and she stopped going to school because the father didn't want her to go to school. So you have to look at behaviors such as, you know, withdrawals, and make sure when you're talking to your children, they have the education so they can even ask their friends, not saying, are you sex trafficked, but listen to little hints, because when you're being sex trafficked, you'll drop hints, and you're looking at people because you don't want to say it because you think that they may go to the person and then nothing will be done. So look at their behavior. Are they not eating? Are they, you know, are they withdrawal? Are they argumentative? Because sometimes they do things. We argue, or we want to create, you know, an argument, hoping that you know, we'll get that attention, and then you may come to our perpetrator, or you'll come and investigate. So we'll create situations. Fighting, that's another situation. You're losing weight, you know, because some traffickers want you to be a certain size, okay?
Really?
So things like that, yes, because you have to remember, it's almost like a pimp mentality where, or a call girl mentality where the pimp will, I want some blonde, she needs to be 5'6", not just height, but size 5'6" or 3'4". When I tell you they have this down to a science, they have this down to a science. Down to
Man.
A science.
It's like, you know, just
keeping
pick out
what
you
isolated.
Want to look at candy store.
Exactly. Isolated. If they don't want you, you know, your daughter's asking her friends to keep coming out. No, I can't come. And if you can't go to their house, if your child can't go to their house, there's something that we have to look. I think it's things that are so subtle that we overlook it. We overlook it. And because now we're in this, and I don't know if you guys heard about this, but because during the pandemic, you know, domestic abuse has gone through the roof. Sex trafficking has gone through the roof, too, because these men are isolated at home. And what I mean by that is not the perpetrators, but the, you know, the customers, the clients, the husbands, the fathers, the brothers, because they're isolated at home with their spouse. Now, I mean, it's in so much demand. You know, when you go into like a BP or whatever off the highway and you go into the bathroom, be cognizant if there's a young lady or a young boy in that bathroom. Watch their movements, because sometimes they'll look at you in such a way we're wanting you to ask us, Can I help you? Is there anything that you're needing? Because if something happens, we want to tell whomever it is, like, no, we didn't say anything to them. They initiated the conversation.
Exactly, because they don't want to get back, get beaten or whatever. Or what did you
right.
say to that person? You know.
Right.
And you're right, you know. But you know something? When I'm with people and I'm out and about or by myself, if I see a child and an adult, I don't naturally assume that's the parent or a relative. I look at the child, whether the child is dragging, you know, or whether they're holding the child's arm and, like, they pulling them along. And I look
right.
at kids, I see tear stains on the child's eyes, because a lot of kids are kidnapped, you know. And I'm always looking, because maybe I'm just nosy by nature, but I'm looking at everything.
and that's how it should be. That's how it should be, but because we feel nobody cares. And here, okay, so the past several years, everybody was talking about sex trafficking. It was the big thing. Then all of a sudden, it's occasionally mentioned. It's not a big deal. When someone's running for office, they'll talk about sex trafficking. But it's not to the level. Sex trafficking should be on the same level as breast cancer. We all know when it comes to cancer, breast cancer is number one. It gets the most funding. And we want, abuse has taken the lead now, where sex trafficking is almost like a sexy thing to talk about. And I mean no disrespect in it, but it's like, oh, yeah, sex trafficking. You know, they're constantly finding, you know, if you watch the FBI's and you read those stats, they're constantly finding groups of people, or when they kick down doors for drugs or whatever, there was also sex trafficking involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It's a huge market, you know, and then once they ship you overseas, if that's the case, because I had a young lady reach out to me. She's, you know, she's working on some sex trafficking in Africa and in Nigeria, and she said it's really bad there. Can I come over? I says, wait a minute. I'm not just getting on no plane and coming over, even if you're sponsoring it. I would need to have some backup, police protection, and all this kind. Because if I'm speaking about them, I'm pretty sure some of the tribes are a part of this, you know. So I'm not rushing
Definitely.
To do that. I need to take care of what's going on here. But so many women feel embarrassed. When you hear their situations of moms, the mothers know what's going on. This is paying the mortgage. This is paying the rent. It's horrible, you know. But it's not even moms on drugs. People don't understand. It happens more in affluent neighborhoods than people really think.
Yeah, look at Jeffrey Epstein and in Florida, that big old beautiful mansion, and he was doing that to them young girls. They had that woman helping him from, you know, the ones who's in jail right now. But before we run out of time, I'm going to let Chris ask this question, because I have another question as well. So, Chris, go ahead, darling.
All right. Well, Jacqueline, you know, in these times of Netflix and everything, are there sex trafficking documentaries or links that people can go to educate themselves on the subject?
I would say they should go to GBI. Because we have the Georgia Federal Investigation, and I think you need to go either to the best place to find out is through your police department, because they have the more accurate information, you know. And I don't have any videos that I can say this is the best video, this is where you should go, because maybe in your community sex trafficking is not a big thing, but always get with the police department. The police have the best stats, and you can go on, I think there's a sex trafficking website. And to be perfectly honest, I've disconnected from a lot of things because a lot of things is not reality. Numbers are great to look at, but that's not what fuels me. I deal with people.
Right. Okay. But, you know, Chris, real quick, I'm going to tell you, I have seen a couple of human trafficking movies on TV that was based from true facts, and it made me sick to my stomach. It was so real, and how the women, you know, had to try to escape, and then one got caught and, you know, died and everything. But, you know, there are some movies out there to depict about human trafficking. Just put in your search engine, you'll find something.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a couple on TV that was like, oh, my God. But my question to you, Jacqueline, is that I'm, you know, right now I'm a mature woman, you know, voluptuous, thick and juicy. Now, people think only people being attracted as the young girls and the young boys. Please tell me they don't want nobody like me because I can't do no for nobody else. You know, I ain't trying to be no house mother. You know, I can't do that. Tell me, because I don't know what all the trends are. Do they take older people as well?
Well, there's something as trend. Well, you can't say that because what happens if there's some people, what happens if you lose your home and you're homeless and you're not, the shelters can't fit you that night. And then someone walks over to you when you're sleeping under a bridge and says, hey, I got something for you. I know what I can do with you. But you need to work in Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee. Most women will do that and not realize, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't, the older women are typically not the ones that they target, but it's not to say that they won't target them because it's going to be based on your circumstances. Because remember, you have no disrespect. You have those men in Dubai. They love American women. I hear stories about women being trafficked in Dubai. They're going there, and these men are defecating on women, and that's the trend things that they're doing now on American women. They're being sex trafficked over there, and they're paying whomever $40,000 a head for women and things like that. And, yeah, that's so – it's not a pretty sight. So.
It's not. Oh, baby girl. Well, look, Jacqueline, tell everybody how to reach you because we've ran out of time. And
sure, no problem.
If you'd like, we
no
can
problem.
Schedule down the road in the future to come back and continue this conversation because this is something that I want people to get in their mind, not because you don't hear no more about it on the news. I mean, it's still happening. Just like drugs are still out there, human trafficking is still out there. Domestic violence is still out there. We need to keep this in people's faces so they don't act like, oh, well, it used to be a problem. We got it hooked. We got it fixed. Just like pandemic is still in our face. We need to make sure these topics that need to reach people are made prevalent constantly, throwing it out there. But in the meantime, since we're running out of time, just tell everybody how to get a hold of you for right now. And you know you can always hit me up and we can schedule how to get you back and we can continue this.
Sure. To get a hold of me, you can call me at 770-480-2269. My email address is womena@gmail.com. I talk about sex trafficking, plant-based eating, and I'm a life coach. And I also talk about self-esteem and just, you know, I'm a happiness coach. That's what I'm considered, the happiness coach.
Amen. We need more happiness out there. And on that note, I'm going to say thank you for being here on this Friday. Thank you, Chris, for tuning in. And
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful show.
Yeah,
thank
great show.
You, and thank
great,
you again.
Great
thank
guest.
You again for allowing me to be on here. I appreciate it, and may you be blessed, and Chris, may you be blessed as well.
Yeah,
thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, well, y'all take care. Have a great week.